Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune, and before Greg and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Well, we don't have a game to talk about last week, but last weekend, I mean, how did things go with the team, and just what's the preparation been like transitioning from a bye week to getting back in action again?
Well, it was funny because Friday we went out and we had a pregame. Right after we got out of school, I said, we're going to have a normal pregame. I want you all, and we'll go through situations when we're done with pregame. I told the coaches and players that all week. And we went out, and we did have a pregame, and it got to be like a pregame. And our kids started getting a little ramped up. We went through our end of the pregame. They broke down. They turned around. They were going to the sidelines. And I looked at them, and they're like, what? I said, see ya. And they all just looked at me, and they were like, well, we're going to do situations. I go, no, we're not. Bye. And coaches are all like, what's going on? And I was like, y'all need to go home. It's time to go home. And it was about 3:50, so we hadn't been out there very long. And a couple players just kept standing there, and a couple of them started making their way to the locker room. They didn't know if I was joking or not. I'm like, no, seriously. Football's been taken away from you. Don't like this feeling. Goodbye. And on Saturday morning, they came back for films to watch North Callaway, and they were still upset with me. Like, that wasn't nice. I was like, well, that's what it's like when football gets ripped away from you. So we built off that. Monday we had a really, really lively practice. Tuesday may have been too lively. We had an injury suffered on the field. So, it's been a week where I think our guys are ready to bite. And I told our coaches going from Tuesday to Wednesday, we need to get the ones away from ones. And let's keep the caged animals away from each other for a little bit.
So for you, I mean, again, you all don't get opportunities to go scout other teams. Again, it's very seldom. What was that experience like in kind of getting back into that scouting mode Friday for the North Callaway Father Tolton game?
It was actually really good because one of their plays, we were able to decipher what that play is. It looks like a pass play, and it's not. It's an option play, and we were almost in an argument with it. But then once the game played on, everybody saw what I was seeing. They're like, oh, my gosh, you're right. So from that perspective, it helped us. We got to see basically the transition, the way that North Callaway had grit. You know, there was times that Tolton could have walked away from them, and North Callaway just kept fighting, and their quarterback, O'Neill, just kept, like, putting the team on his back, bringing them back. They've got a back by the name of Moreno, a receiver. Those two just kept playing. They played hard. They played, you know, relentlessly. So it was good to see that and be able to bring that back and portray to our kids that this is an urgent team. They want to win. They're playing hard, and they're doing everything they can to win the football game.
Well, and you saw them on person, but also from what have you seen from this North Callaway team on film?
Well, they're very quarterback-oriented, and now they have three real good backs, but their offense, 75% of it goes through their quarterback. We added up we totaled up their statistics, and the quarterback is carrying the ball almost 2-1 everybody else, and that includes, it doesn't matter. He's going to put the ball in his hands and make it happen. If it's a pass, he's going to scramble to run. Now, he can throw it, but he's scrambling to look to run, and last week he did that to Tolton and took one to the house on him. So we've got to be really precise on our pass rush lanes on him. Their running game is a very power-oriented running game. Then when they're throwing, they're trying to get into the flats and then trying to extend you down the field. Defensively, they're a 4-2-5. They went last week and played some 30 against Tolton. Tolton had some really prolific receivers, so I think they did that to try to get them, they hadn't showed it much to the other films we've seen, but they were really, really like to operate out of their 4-2-5 and try to control line scrimmage.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And Greg, the number one question is, what was the key to last week's bye week victory? All right, so let's just do a quick reset. So, yes, Blair Oaks had the bye, so they were guaranteed to advance. So their opponent this week will be the lone upset kind of in districts. Last week was the 5 seed beating the 4 seed. So yeah, They'll be playing North Callaway, who beat Father Tolton 38-28. On the other side of the bracket, 2-seed Herman rolled over Cuba 68-0, and 3-seed St. Francis Borgia beat California 28-21. So that kind of sets up the final four. But like I say, the only kind of mild upset was North Callaway. So I guess the big thing is, from what you've heard, what was North Callaway able to do that they were able to beat Tolton last week and earn this matchup with the Falcons tonight?
From talking to Coach LePage, it sounds like they did a pretty good job on the front line of shutting down Tolton's run game and therefore forcing Tolton to have to throw the ball nonstop. Okay. It sounds like their defense basically turned Tolton into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There's no running game. You had to throw the football. And here's the thing. Unless you find a way to complete like 70 to 75% of your passes, it's going to be an uphill climb when you do that, especially when everybody knows what's coming. I would argue that's what makes Blair Oaks so successful is, yes, Dylan Hare will complete about 70% of his passes,
sure,
but he can always break loose for a 70-yard run if you want, so you're always going to have defenses on their toes. Again, that was a huge win. I thought... If I remember right, I think last week I predicted Tolton was going to win. Mm-hmm. I really thought Tolton had the momentum coming in, but North Callaway, I will say, you know what? You take a look at their schedule; they're 7-3 coming into this, and maybe you can make the argument that the strength of schedule that they saw from the Emo and their non-conference teams really got them ready for that game.
So that gets them back on the winning streak after a little blip. They lost their regular season finale to Bowling Green, but prior to that, you know, they'd won five in a row. So yeah. I mean, now they've won six of seven. So yes, it looks like, you know, while they came out of the gate and won their season opener, then lost two, they kind of have been streaking as the season's kind of played itself out.
I'd be kind of curious to see. I mean, the thing is, the Callaway Cup, when I first got to Jeff City, I think that was like week 9, and mm-hmm. and it's been moved up to week 2. They lost to South Callaway, it was a really close game week 2. If they played that game week 8 or week 9, I would think maybe North Callaway wins that one. I think that's just one of those things early in the season. You know, South Callaway won a toss-up game, and would it still be a toss-up game today? Who knows? You know, South Callaway also had a big win last week against Tipton in their district, but... you know, like we said last week, I mean, the bye week is benefit. I think the bye week was more beneficial. I mean, as you said, look at that Cuba and Herman score 68-0. I don't think you get anything out of that other than, like, it's a lot of, like, your Tri-County games where basically the first string played for the first quarter and a half and the second string played for half the game. Now you're to the point of the season where, hey, you know what? A loss means the end of our season, so you know we're holding nothing back. We're going after it moving forward.
So just as a point of order, I will bring up the fact that Callaway Cup game was in week 3, and not as a point of shaming Greg, but it's because I want to bring up this point. So week 2 against Macon, mm-hmm. North Callaway scores 0 points. That is notable only because if you look at the rest of the schedule, let me read this off for you. 28, 28, 30, 34, 36, 32, 42, then that 61-12 loss to Bowling Green.
Yeah.
And then 38 again last week. Well, that's a whole heck of a lot of games in the 30s and a couple and one in the 40s where you look at it and go, outside of that one blip where they didn't score much in week 2, all of a sudden it looks like it's a pretty darn potent offense. So I think that's one thing where you look at it and go, if you're going to be concerned tonight as a Falcon fan coming to this game, it's not the fact that you just go, well, we're not playing well, because granted, Blair Oaks is playing great. It's just the fact that team seems like it's got an offense that's pretty darn good and pretty consistent, where you go, they haven't had a lot of fluctuations where they've had a lot of games where they just go, oh, we don't know what we're doing, or we fluked into some big game scores. They look like they've been pretty consistent offensively.
You look at what they've got offensively, and again, for Blair Oaks is going to see another dual-threat quarterback in Braden O'Neill from North Callaway. You know, he's got all... He's nearing 1,500 yards passing. He surpassed 1,000 yards rushing for the season last week. So, I mean, right there, that's almost 2,500 total yards of offense right there. I mean, you compare that to Dylan. I mean, that's not too far behind Dylan Hare, who's right around probably around 3,000 total yards for the season. And, you know, taking a look, Braden O'Neill is going to – don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to point out the obvious here. Yes, the quarterback's going to have his hands on the ball on every play, but he's going to do something probably about 80 to 85% of the time, because if you look, he averages about 20 pass attempts a week, but he also runs the ball a lot. He's averaging about 16, 17 carries, which, I mean, that's double what we've seen from Dylan Hare this year. So you take a look, obviously he's going to make a big impact in their passing game, but he also really defines their run game. And I asked Coach LePage, like, okay, you all see dual threat quarterbacks, it seems like, on a weekly basis. If you had to, what sets him apart, or who would you liken him to? And he really said he's a lot like Boonville quarterback Colby Caton, who is probably one of the best dual threat quarterbacks that Blair Oaks faced this year. They didn't have Dakota Truce, and I really think that hindered what Colby was able to do, and he had to do a lot more than he needed to.
Sure.
But this is Braden O'Neal is a kid that will run with the ball, and there's no finesse about it. If he has to, he's going to lower his shoulder and try to run through you. He's more of like a power option type quarterback.
So if we've seen the Falcons do one thing this year, which we've seen repeatedly, is when you're a team that has that one guy that you need to stop, they've been able to do that pretty consistently. So if this is a situation where North Cal has to go to a second option or has to have some other guy come up big, who might that guy be?
You know, the running back Tucker Wright, if you take a look at his season numbers, they haven't really jumped out at you. You know, 84 carries for 345 yards. But last week, he had 21 carries for 81 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he got about 25% of his season carries came against Tolton alone. So I think that was kind of that'll add a wrinkle for North Callaway and say, hey, you know what? If this guy can get 4 yards a carry, why not keep going to him? You know, North Callaway does have some pretty good receivers. Sergio Moreno leads them with about 632 yards receiving this year and 11 touchdowns. You know, A.J. Siegel is another one. Now, if you look last week combined, they had 4 catches for about 45 yards, so they went to some other guys. But you take a look at what North Callaway did last week. I mean, O'Neal ran for 205 yards and Wright ran for 81. So, again, the run game right there produced about close to 300, if not more than 300 yards rushing. So I'll be very curious to see. Again, we're talking about another trend where a team comes in and has had success running the ball, and you've got a Blair Oaks run defense that is, like, not so fast because, let's not forget, 2 weeks ago against Southern Boone, they held them negative net yards rushing.
Right.
So, again, who's going to win that battle, the Blair Oaks defensive line or the North Callaway backfield?
So, if I were a betting man, which I am not, I would bet the fact that Blair Oaks is probably going to be able to slow down the type of production that North Callaway has been having on offense. So then that makes it a thing where this game is going to come down to, can the North Callaway defense possibly slow down the Blair Oaks offense? And while I don't think, other than there's that game where they gave up 61 to Bowling Green, there aren't a lot of big, huge numbers that jump out at you that they've given up, you know, defensively. But it's also something where you look at and go, they've given up points in games this year. Yeah. So can they possibly slow down the Blair Oaks offense enough to be in this game where they could potentially be in position to pull an upset?
I'm going to say no, and I, you know, not to pick on North Callaway here, but I got a feeling Friday's game, again, with the rain, anything can happen, but under normal circumstances, I think we'd see an outcome similar to Bowling. I mean, let's be honest, Blair Oaks and Bowling Green are on pretty similar levels. They both have been scoring points. I mean, really, Bowling Green might be the one team this year that has scored more points than Blair Oaks, and I would really, after seeing that result, it's like, you know what? I guess the good thing for North Callaway is they have seen a team of this caliber already once this season, but the result was nowhere near what they wanted it to be. And here's the other thing I want to point out to people. You know, Dylan Hare has rushed for a lot of yards this year, but it's only been on like 83, 84 carries. He's averaging 16 yards per carry.
Right.
And here's the thing. Now you're getting to that time of year where a loss ends the season, and a loss ends Dylan Hare's career at Blair Oaks. So there is a good chance that now we've got it to this point of the season. He's only rushed for maybe 3 to 6 times on average the past 4 or 5 games.
Right.
I don't know if we're going to see
that number. That number's going to go up.
Yeah, that number is going to go up. It's one of those things like, hey, let's try to – we know what he's capable of in the regular season, but let's make sure we keep him healthy for this time of year. And guess what? Now we're to that time of year where it's like – If they have to, they can unleash him and let him wreak havoc on the opposing defense.
And speaking of healthy, I got to imagine that Blair Oaks is pretty darn healthy, especially coming off a bye week where just that added rest of this time of year, that's going to be beneficial going forward.
They are. I'll tell you, like, a lot of bumps and bruises heal, but, in the interview earlier on this podcast with Coach LePage, he did mention that, you know what, they were pretty aggressive practice-wise coming back this week. The injured player is Parker Bennett. He injured his hip during practice. He will not play this week, but other than that, they should be good to go.
So we're arriving at the typical prediction point of the podcast, and we're going to zig a little bit before we zag, and we're going to go, who comes out on the other side of the bracket, do you think, tonight? I mean, it's, you know, Herman's coming in with an 8-2 record. Borgia's 6-4. Record-wise and seed-wise, you'd think it's going to be Herman. Do you see any chance for an upset for Borgia against Herman?
I don't. I think it's going to be Herman. I really thought California might pull off that upset last week against Borgia, but Borgia just happened to hold on for that win by a touchdown. I think Herman. I think Herman's got this one, so it'll be very interesting to see that matchup for the district title.
I was going to say, so I'm assuming then that we're going to see Blair Oaks versus Herman, but I'll let you tell me for sure, and let me tell you, have you tell me the score.
I'll tell you what, I'll go on ahead and say Blair Oaks wins this one. Let's say 56-14. I think maybe North Callaway finds a way to get some touchdowns late when the game's already out of hand. But I think there's going to be another game where Blair Oaks is up by 4 or 5 touchdowns at least midway through the second quarter.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action, J-A-X-O-N, 05. Thanks for listening.